Freestyle Travel. Hey, everybody. This is Kenny Flannery, your host of this Freestyle Travel show, and I am drinking what tastes like a hop-flavored syrupy White Claw. Oh, my God. It's actually called a Hopping Nomad IPA Session Ale. They tricked me. Not really. I kind of knew what I was getting into. It was $6 a six-pack at Aldi. For the true adventure inside us all, it says. It's not even a Florida beer. What am I doing? Breaking my rules. Drinking out-of-state beer. Where's this from? I think it's from Milwaukee. I don't know. Someone making beer on the cheap. Whatever. At least it was cheap. They tricked me with the name and the price. But yeah, I am in Florida, not Milwaukee, home of the Hopping Nomad IPA. St. Petersburg. Last episode, I was in Kansas City. But this episode, I'll catch you up on what I'm doing, why I'm here, filming a guy in gold paint, all kinds of stuff, in a random hotel room for free yet again, and yeah, I'll get into that. But this episode's supposed to be about indefinite travel, how to start traveling in particular, whether that's indefinite travel or not. It's kind of irrelevant for a lot of these tips. A lot of these tips are just for people who at least want to go on an extended trip. But yeah, quite a few tips for people who want to break off altogether. So I'll be talking about different ways you can travel, different rhythms, you know, how to actually break away and get out there, travel logistics and money and all this stuff. I'll break all that down. And I think you'll like it if you're thinking about traveling. Because it's freaking fun. You find yourselves in situations like this where you're drinking a Hopping Nomad IPA in a Holiday Inn for free. This guy got this. He's been living in this room for weeks, not over a month. And now I live here for tonight. I'll be getting out of here tomorrow, the next day. On to the next adventure. Yeah, it's been an interesting month since the last episode, a few weeks since the last episode in Kansas City, hanging out there with Liz Stewart, listening to the last episode, get a little taste of that. Yeah, you never know what kind of situation you'll find yourself in. I thought I might be in Costa Rica right now, but no. But I'm still having a good time, and there's good times coming up, for sure. I don't know what yet. I know it'll be in the direction of the Keys and eventually Key West. I think, but yeah, I'm just winging it, as always, trying to see what happens on its own. So, yeah, I kind of want to talk about all that, but I also want to talk about how to travel indefinitely, so I'm just going to jump right into that, and then after that, in the outro, I'll talk about my own personal goings-on in the last month and what's coming up. All right, so here we go. Let's learn how to travel. Let's get you out there. Alrighty, traveling indefinitely. That's my style. So I just wrote an article about this on hobolifestyle.com if you want to check it out there and read it thoroughly, because there'll undoubtedly be stuff that I miss here that I have on there, or maybe you're just into reading. But yeah, hobolifestyle.com, how to travel indefinitely is the title of that article. You can either Google it or it'll be in the description. You can look it up either way. I've kind of broke this topic down into four sections for those who just are looking to get on a trip. And the first one is actually like travel rhythm and travel style. The second is breaking away, like actually leaving where you're at and getting on the road. The third section is, you know, travel logistics. And that's just to give you a little confidence, a little taste of what it's like on the road, where to sleep, pack in, and different ways you can get around. And finally, sustaining travel, which is basically the big one that everyone always asks me about first, but I'm saving it for last, which is money. You know, how do you afford to do this? So I'll talk about both making and spending money while on the road. Yeah, so let's start, as I said, with travel rhythms and travel styles. So those of you who listen to this podcast and know me know that I have been traveling indefinitely for 14 years almost. It'll be 14 years this summer. And I typically will stay in a place for a couple couple days or so, sometimes a couple weeks. That's usually what I'm at. I'm kind of constantly moving. There's been a few times over 14 years where I stayed in a place for several weeks or even over a month a couple times, but never more than 2 months. And I think that's only happened once or twice where I've stayed somewhere for that long in a row. But yeah, usually I'm moving. Always trying to see new things, not trying to wake up in the same bed or patch of woods too many days in a row. That's my style, and you can adopt that if you want to. It's pretty fun. I recommend it. But there's so many other rhythms that you can kind of get on. So I've got plenty of friends who fit the next little rhythm, which is traveling for several months at a time, maybe like 6 to 9 months at a time, until they kind of get travel fatigue or kind of burnt out or just want to focus on a project, and then they'll rent a place or otherwise, you know, find a way to live stably in one place for about the same amount of time, a few months or even a year. It could be anywhere, you know. They could be living in San Diego for 6 months and then traveling all over Asia and Australia for 6 months, and then they get a place in Thailand for maybe 8 months or a season, and then, you know, rinse and repeat, kind of keep on going. That's a pretty popular way to go, and I think pretty attractive to a lot of people, that kind of rhythm. Then there's a classic, just trying to put in that like 2-3 month trip every year. I mean, that's a real easy one. People will go to school growing up, kind of, you know, you might not necessarily travel, but you know that rhythm. You get summers off, and that's kind of time to go, so a lot of people just try to do that. Yeah, those are kind of the main ones, but there's plenty you can do. I've got other friends who, you know, live in one spot, and then every couple years or so, they take one really, really long trip, maybe a year around the world. Got a friend, Nick, he kind of does that every few years. He's just like, all right, I'm taking 1 year off and going. Yeah, so you can kind of take your pick, and that'll change, maybe. You can just kind of do whatever feels good for you. So I'm just trying to define a few of these things before I get into actually breaking away and all that, just so you kind of can have your own little framework, how you think about traveling. Maybe you already kind of got an idea. Travel styles is just kind of everything, you know, how you're getting around, where you're sleeping, what kind of stuff you're doing, what kind of food you're eating, what kind of money you got. That can determine some things, but also how you make money can determine some things. And, you know, so you might, as far as like transportation, you know, you can walk, you can hitchhike, you can bike, you can drive, you can have a van, an RV, get a sailboat, you know, take planes, trains, buses, so many ways to get around. So you might do all sorts of those things, any combination, or maybe you just stick to one. And then accommodation, you know, you could be couch surfing or staying in hostels, staying in hotels, be expensive. You might be going to breweries, adventure tours, ziplining, go to museums, just trying to find places to hike, you know. There's all sorts of things you can do when you travel, and you probably gravitate towards one thing or another. And that can all change. And, you know, part of it can have to do with what kind of money you got. But then there's things like couch surfing, or I should more... You know, since couch surfing is sort of dying out, I should more broadly say using hospitality networks, staying with local people, that doesn't cost anything. And you might find that you just love that. You know, I do. Meeting new people in new places and staying with them and getting more insight and, you know, making a friend half the time. You know, that's something you do whether you're broke or, you know, had millions of dollars at your disposal. So it's all just, you know, picking what you want to do. And that's, you know, part of your travel style. How are you getting around, what you're doing? So that's rhythm and style. So kind of have that in your head. But know that it can and probably will change as you go, as you discover new tricks and hobbies and things like that. So let's get into the heart of it now. Section two, breaking away. How to start traveling. This is really the big one for most people. You know, the rhythm and style, maybe you already kind of had an idea in your head about that. And I'll get into travel logistics and travel section three. And that might, you know, clear things up even more for you. But the breaking away thing, There's all kinds of barriers, and I call them anchors that people have that kind of hold them back, or at least is like on their mind when they're like, all right, I want to travel, I want to do this. But then, you know, some of the common ones are, you know, whatever relationship you may or may not be in, like girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife, whatever, your job, your apartment or your house, all of your stuff. and then maybe your friends, family, kids, stuff like that. You know, kids is kind of a big one, which I'll touch on last because I have the least experience with it. But I've met a lot of people also with kids doing the thing, making it work. So those are some of the big ones. So I'll start with the whole relationship one. If you have a girlfriend, let's say, and she wants to travel with you, there you go. That's great. I mean, you're still, you know, got to make sure you can talk her into it and all the sort of things I'm talking about. Maybe have her listen to this podcast too. And you break away together. Or she's just not that important to you. It's just a temporary girlfriend or something. And, you know, that's easy. Goodbye forever. Or maybe they don't want to travel, but they kind of get it. Again, no problem. Because then you're just like, all right, well, thank you. I'll text you every day. And then you get on the road and go. And yeah. And then there's when it doesn't work. And they're not too cool with you traveling. And that could be a problem, but not really if you think about it. Because if you're with someone who's just totally against you traveling and they don't want to travel, do you want to be with that person? I don't know. I don't know who you are listening to this. I definitely don't know who they are, but it's a question you might want to ask. Is it important enough? You know, I've just met so many people, hitchhiking in particular, that come to mind, just because people are, I don't know, even more honest when I'm hitchhiking, because I'm just someone in a lot of cases, just in their life temporarily, and they know when I get out of the car, that's it forever, so they kind of are more candid with me, I think. And I've had some people tell me that, you know, they really wanted to travel and they were in some relationship and they never did it, and now they feel like they can't and they kind of regret not doing it. And sometimes that that girl or guy they were with, they're not even with anymore. And it's just, yeah, there's a sadness in their voice. And, you know, you don't want to be that voice with that sadness down the road if you can avoid it. So just, you know, think about it, take a look at it, and yeah, have fun navigating those waters. I sound like a brush on this stuff. I'm not going to solve it for you altogether, but yeah, I think you'll figure out what you should do. I'm confident. The next one is your job. And to be honest, most people are not actually worried about their job. They're more worried about money, you know. You know, rough numbers, half the people don't care about their job at all. You know, maybe you work at a CVS, you know, as a cashier or something, and then it's definitely like, who cares? Let's go. It's easy. I know the big worry is actually money. It's not the job. How am I going to make money? Which I'm going to get to, I promise, here at the end. And for those of you who, like, have a good job that you actually enjoy, sometimes that's easy to leave too, because a lot of people enjoy their jobs because their boss is cool, the people they work with are cool, and they might even just like let you take time off, or, you know, even better, just say, you know, this job's always waiting for you when you get back, if you decide to ever come back, kind of thing. And I think especially after this past year, 2020, a lot more like enjoyable jobs, I'll say, like, I don't know if that's the right word, but like, a lot of jobs are remote. That's what I'm going to get at in one way or another. Yeah, jobs that weren't remote before now are. So that's always an option too, possibly, you know. You don't want to be tied to a computer necessarily all the time. But maybe you're okay with it. And maybe regardless if you're going to work like 20, 30, 40 hours a week from your computer, wouldn't you rather be on the road rather than your same kitchen table every single day? Probably. It's better than not traveling at all. That's all I'm saying. So Yeah, the job's not a huge one, but it's worth mentioning. And like I said, I will talk about the money thing, which is really the root of that, I think, for most people. The other one is dealing with your place and your stuff. That can be a big anchor for some people. For some people, that's easy. You know, your stuff, just get rid of it. Like, sell it if you want to. It's really nice just to give people stuff. whatever you can't pack in your backpack, just toss it. If you're really tied to the stuff and you're not, like, fully committed on, like, an indefinite travel, hopefully you have, like, a friend you can leave things with, like someone with a basement or an attic. Worst case scenario, you got to get storage. That's a pain. That's a expense, monthly expense you should try to avoid. Just get rid of your stuff, you know? How important is it to you, really, really? Especially if it's, like, furniture. It's like, just toss it, you know? Sell it if you want to. You can always buy it back. If you got knickknacks from your childhood, I always recommend just, like, taking pictures of it. You know, sometimes that's enough because it's usually unfunctional stuff. Take a photograph, and then you'll have it with you always. As far as your place, you know, if you're renting a place, yeah, you kind of got to make that move. Are you just going to break your lease and go? What kind of situation are you in? If you do have a lease and you don't want to break it, it's going to be expensive, or you just think it's rude, because it is kind of rude to break your lease and go away without paying the cost. That can be an exciting thing, because let's say your lease is up in May. Now you know. You got until May to mentally prepare yourself and get yourself on the road. It's kind of sweet. Like, I don't know, something cool to look forward to. And gear yourself up. Just make sure you're not collecting anchors up until then. I've seen that happen a couple times. That's a bummer. Let me take a sip of beer on that. Whew. By that, I mean, I've seen people who are like, yep, my lease is up on this day. Say June 1st, let's go. And then before June, they get themselves a kick-ass girlfriend. They get a raise at the grocery store. They're the manager now. And getting paid $4.50 extra an hour. Got responsibilities. Who's going to replace you? Girlfriend's pretty awesome. Maybe I'll wait till next year. Yep. Seen it happen many times. Maybe it's the right choice. I doubt it. But, you know, you got to do what you got to do. Just be aware of that. And don't manifest it, because I just gave you a template for it either. God damn it. All right. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. If you own a place, I don't know, man. Just sell it. I've never owned a house before. But if I did, I would just sell it. Or, you know, have someone pay rent to cover whatever taxes or mortgage or fancy stuff you homeowners got to deal with. Rent it out to a friend who pays for all that nonsense. Yeah, or just get rid of it. Just walk away, see what happens. It'll deteriorate eventually. Deteriorate. If you're in New Orleans, it'll get covered in trees and moss, and eventually it'll be gone. So that's my suggestion there. Just time to move on. All right. What's another anchor here? Family, friends, kids. Family isn't that much of an anchor unless, you know, you could be in the tough position where, and this should be the only position, like where you're like responsible for someone. Like if everybody's dead except for your grandma and you're the only thing keeping her going, you know, then yeah, that's a tough one. That's one I don't really have a great answer for. Like if you're the one who cares for her and if you're not there, yeah, that could be a problem. Then yeah, that could be a problem. If you don't have any other siblings or anything, then, yeah, I mean, it's a pretty specific situation. So, can't really help you on that one, other than, yeah, hopefully you do have some other siblings or something. But, I don't know, maybe you bring her with you. It'd be pretty sweet. Throw her in the passenger seat, start tooling around the country, and she'll be like, I made out down that side road 39 years ago with your grandpa. I don't know. It'd be a cool trip. I say you do that. Yeah, if you can. Chuck her in the passenger seat, get a car. Be a little expensive. You're paying for gas and stuff, but yeah, be a hell of a trip. Be better than sitting around, probably for both of y'all. Oh, that went deep. I wasn't expecting to go that deep down that one. Friends are not an anchor, really. I mean, I just bring up friends because they might be talking shit. You know, they might be like, you know, one way or the other, like, oh, you're not going to make it, you're not going to last, or you shouldn't do that, or, you know, most of the time they'll probably say it sounds awesome, you know, or at least they'll think that. So that's not a big thing, the friend thing. And, you know, today is not 50 years ago. You're not leaving your friends, really. Like, you'll still be in touch via social media and call them and text them at any time. It's not like you got to send a letter you hope gets to them and maybe you get a response 3 months down the road because you knew an address, whatever. No, you can throw on video and talk to them all the time. And by the way, I can't tell you how many times I go and visit my friends in different cities around the world. And I get there, and I've got multiple friends in the same city, but I'm staying with one. And I'm like, how's so-and-so been? You know, I just got there drinking some beers, and like, oh, I haven't seen them since the last time you were here. And I'm like, what? They live here. They live like 5 miles away. They're like, ah, it's just the other side of town and work. And yeah, so a lot of these friends you're leaving, like, are you? How often are you really seeing them face-to-face anyways? Go spend some time with your friends. Jeez. Does it really take a hobo coming into town to start linking up with your friends who live in the same damn town? It does. Sometimes it does. But what I'm saying is it's no worries, you know. I got friends, some of my best friends, like, I don't even talk to you necessarily. We're not even texting back and forth. And I see them every 6 months to 2.5 years. And when we see each other, it's just fully on. We got plenty of stories. We're having a great time going back and forth. Like nothing ever happened. It's awesome. So I wouldn't worry about that. And the other thing is, you might be considering traveling with your friends or your family, for that matter. And that's cool, too. I can get into that a little bit, actually. Yeah, it can be fun. I've traveled with friends, new friends, girlfriends, all kinds of different, you know, travel partners. And it's cool. But I will say, be prepared for a couple things. And be prepared, ultimately, to potentially travel on your own. Either right from the start or down the road, because you might, you know, have this friend, girlfriend, whatever, and you're like, all right, June 1st, we're going to do it. We're going to hit the road, and then June 1st rolls around, and, you know, they got a raise, they got cold feet, or something happened, and, you know, they don't have as much money as they thought they'd have, whatever. They got an excuse that they don't want to travel with you anymore. And now it's like, are you not going to travel because they're not going to come with you? No, just be prepared that they might back out, and you should be prepared to just travel on your own anyways. Don't be dependent on anybody. Enjoy everybody. Let everybody lift you up, but don't let anyone be your other half, because that's wholly stupid. Or, you know, you guys do hit the road, you and your girlfriend, you and your buddy, whatever, and then 3 months in, couple months in, y'all start getting sick of each other. I mean, that happens for sure, like, because when you're traveling, you are with each other, like, especially a girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever, like, you might never leave each other's sight in some cases. I do recommend, you know, have some space whenever possible when you're traveling to avoid what I'm about to say, which is, like, it's possible that y'all just start getting on each other's nerves and just little dumb stuff, like, starts ticking you off, the way they breathe, even just stupid stuff. That's when you know it's gone way too far, because you're just with each other all the time. You know, and there's this thing I realized along the way traveling with a couple different girls. It's like you never have any stories to tell each other other than like the past. There's no like, guess what happened to me today, because they were right next to you. So you can like talk about what happened and how you both thought about it, or you can talk about something that happened to you when you were 17. But you can't be like, oh, I just got back from work and met so-and-so, or no, because you're, like, with each other all the time. So my point is that, like, if you let that get bad, and there's ways to not let that get bad, but if it does, you might be like, let's part ways. But don't let that be the end of the trip either. You know, keep on going. Keep on going solo. Just be prepared to go solo. But, you know, try to avoid it. Usually that stuff is temporary, but if you can avoid it, do that. And that can be as simple as just, you know, you get to a city and maybe you go on a hike somewhere because you really love hiking, and maybe they love something else a little bit more, go to breweries and, you know, whatever. Every once in a while, just like each have a day to yourself, something like that, or even a couple hours to yourself. A little side tip there. There you go. The last anchor is admittedly the one I know the least about on a personal level, but that's having kids. And it's not as hard as it seems. I will say that, even though I just said I hardly know anything about it. But I have met a lot of people with kids traveling who've traveled. I met a couple in Germany. They spent a year hitchhiking around the world with a one-year-old, a baby, basically. Hitchhiking around the world, like every continent, pretty sure, most continents, but U.S., Europe, all over. Baby in hammocks, hitchhiking, made it work. Totally good. I've met people who are just traveling with their kids homeschooling, you know. And all this just depends on your situation, like, you know, the kids, whatever, your wife, your husband, ex-wife, ex-husband, how's that working? How many kids, how old are they? It's all gonna, you know, play into it. But there are ways to make it work, and I would definitely suggest Googling even your exact situation, because I was trying to find that couple I was talking about with the baby. They wrote a book, or he wrote a book about it, and I was trying to find a link to that book, and I couldn't find it, but I saw so much other stuff, so many other people, blog posts and whatnot, about traveling with their kids of all different ages, all different numbers of kids, all different combinations of still married, separated, divorced, all kinds of stuff. So that information is out there, and I just wouldn't let it bog you down, you know, if you can. I'm going to take a sip of beer, and we're going to go into the second half here, section 3, travel logistics. Is this beer? I don't know if this is really beer. I should really down this so I can have a second one. I got to get through this six-pack. Oh, man. Sorry, one more sip, guys. Bear with me. Oof, in a few minutes, I'll reach for the fridge. There's a fridge in this fancy hotel room I'm staying in. All right, travel logistics. So, all right, so we talked about your potential travel styles, the rhythms that you can get on, and all the crap that might hold you back. Now I just want to kind of give you a little bit of confidence, because one of the other things that holds people back is just fear of the unknown. And there's a lot of that. So I'm just going to kind of briefly go over some things. And I think for most of the stuff I'm about to talk about, I have podcasts and certainly blog posts and even videos in some cases, like deep dive into all this stuff. For example, like the first thing, packing. So yeah, I've got so much stuff I'm packing. I think like episode 4 of this podcast is all just about what to pack. People ask about that a lot, just like, what should I carry? And the short answer is not a lot. Don't carry more than you need. If you're not sure if you should bring something, like, you're like, oh, I wish I could talk to Kenny directly and ask him if I should bring this. No, don't. Just put it down. Give it away. That's the answer to that one. If you know you got to bring something, bring it. If you're not sure, then no, you don't need it. That's the short answer. Just and yeah, like I said, I got so many. I'm like looking at these links right now. I got a bunch of stuff about this, and yeah, you just don't want to bring too much stuff. I mean, your goal should be to certainly be carry-on size. You don't want a bag so big you got to check it. You don't want a 60-liter backpack. That's definitely the absolute biggest you could have, and you shouldn't really. I can give you some definitive sizes. Pretty much 40 liters or less is what you want to. 40 liters or less. I just had a notification. Record a podcast. I'm way ahead of you, Google. I'm way ahead of you. Yeah, 40-liter backpack or less. If you can get it down to 20, hell yeah, you're good. I mean, the functional goals here are you certainly don't want to pay extra on the plane. So that means being able to carry it on. And you want to be able to, like, walk around a city unencumbered, you know? Even if you have all your stuff, your whole backpack, you should be able to walk around a city wandering, looky-looing, going wherever you want, and, like, forget that you even have it with you. You don't want to be, like, a slave to your backpack. You don't want to be, like, looking for a place to sit down because your shoulders are tired. That's pretty much the main goal. Once you start getting lighter than that, it's just like Nerdville. It's pretty cool. Like, I'm into it, you know. As minimal and light as possible, go for it. Certainly, even with flying, some airlines, they charge you even for the carry-on. So if you can get down to the personal item size, which, you know, on their website, they say, like, a purse. But really, it's usually, like, 18 inches by 8 inches by... another 8 inches or something. It's a fair size for a personal item. So if you can get a backpack down to smaller than that size, you're totally in that good range. I could talk about this all day, and I have before. So if you really want to listen more on that, you can either, listen, I think, episode 4 of this podcast. I think I did another episode more recently. I know I did. I got videos on the YouTube/Hobo Lifestyle. Yeah. You'll find it if that's what you're into. Getting around... kind of brushed on this earlier too, just, that's on you, how you want to get around, what's comfortable for you, and that could be, walking, my style is hitchhiking, you might want to do the van thing, obviously planes, trains, buses, bicycle, whatever your style, but, if you're not getting, I'm not really into, like, I like the idea of a van, don't get me wrong, it's badass. Almost every camper van I've ever been inside, I've just been like geeking out, like, how freaking cool is this? I'm into it. And I've thought about it a lot, but the answer's always been no for me, because ultimately I don't want to pay for gas, I don't want to pay for insurance, I don't want the responsibility, I don't want to deal with stuff if it breaks down, I don't want to think about where I'm going to park it or how I'm going to sell it when I go overseas over an ocean. I don't want any of that in my life. But I do get that it's freaking cool. You can have a few more luxuries, just talking about packing, but you still want to be minimal. But you could have like a few extra things in there. It's a place to sleep every night. Every time you want to take a left or a right, go down a side road, you do it. It's quick. I get all that. It's freaking awesome. Bicycle, you get a lot of that too. You don't get the place to sleep, but you do get the faster, independent motion without paying for gas, but still, even a bicycle, I'll be like, oh man, bringing this thing on a plane. I just don't want to deal with the responsibility of any of that, but I totally get it, so maybe that's your move. But for me, who just wants to have my backpack and that's it to worry about, hitchhiking is definitely my default on land. So much information on hitchhiking has been recorded on this podcast and documented on hobolifestyle.com and certainly the YouTube channel. So you can explore more of that, but it's not as scary as you may think, if you do think that. I shouldn't put that in people's heads anymore, because I think overall people are getting over it. I think they're coming around. Maybe that's just the bubble I'm in. My own personal bubble of don't be dumb. I'm going to take another sip of beer. And open another beer. Bear with me. Just reaching over. Actually put the fridge close by. I think it's good. I even opened the can underneath. A little quieter for you. All right. I called people dumb for not respecting hitchhiking and opened the White Claw of Session IPAs. And we're back. Okay. So, yeah, whatever. Hitchhiking's for you or it's not. Get on it. You'll save a bunch of money. You'll have a bunch more rich experiences and have a bunch of side adventures you didn't expect. But, or don't listen. Just do your own thing. That's fine. Whatever. You can also take buses and planes. And I've gotten pretty good, and it's easy to get pretty good at finding cheap options for both of those things. Just briefly, if you're in the U.S. looking to Megabus, Flixbus, not as cheap as they were pre-pandemic, but I think that'll come back around. You used to be able to find dollar buses really easy for certain routes, let's say like New York to DC or Atlanta to Orlando, Los Angeles to Vegas. Usually if you booked like several weeks or a couple months early, especially, you get these dollar tickets. I'm not seeing them as much, not looking as much, but it seems like they're more like Greyhound-y kind of prices, but it might come around. Flixbus is the other one. Finding flights, I definitely have a podcast on that. I believe it's episode 35 if you want to listen to that one. The main thing with finding flights is just being flexible and using a site like Kiwi for life. I know a lot of people use Skyscanner, but the Kiwi's where it's at. It's better than Google Flights. It's better than Skyscanner. And the reason I like it so much is how vague you can be and flexible on all these levels, like searching United States to Europe for the next 3 months or something, and instead of searching airport to airport, and then you can be like, oh, if on February 7th, if I fly from Fort Lauderdale to Barcelona, it'll be $82 or whatever, and you're like, all right, I guess that's when I'm going there, even if you're not trying to go to Barcelona. It's just, you know, you get to Europe. So whatever your goal was, maybe you really wanted to see a friend in Berlin, but at least you're over there for cheap. Then you get an adventure in between. So yeah, I think I get really into it on that podcast. So if you're traveling indefinitely, it's much easier to be flexible with flights simply because, yeah, it's not like I have to fly out on Friday and be back on Sunday from this airport that's close to me to the airport directly where I'm going. No, you can be way more flex and not spend as much money. Yeah, so I got into that a little more than I planned to, but hopefully that's good for you. The other big one is where to sleep. So what I talk about, packing, transportation, yeah, sleeping is the other big one. Also what people consider a big expense sometimes, but not really. So my preferred default is to use a hospitality network website, which historically has been couchsurfing.com, but that website is a little bit defunct. They kind of lost their way, started charging money, started shutting people out, not responding to messages, just all around not being too cool. But like I said, they're not very communicative, so maybe they're cool, but not communicative, but no, probably not. So yeah, trustroots.org is my personal favorite hospitality network, and Be Welcome is second, but whatever. Try them both. It's not really something to be rated, really, even though I just did that. I just like Trustroots. And yeah, if you don't know about hospitality networks, they're awesome. You should know. I got plenty of stuff on this too, of course. Yeah, it's just people you can stay with for free that may or may not show you around, but it's definitely more about meeting the person than having a free place to stay. Some people kind of, you know, one of the reasons couch surfing began to get ruined is it started to get talked about as a free Airbnb, which, you know, I get it. I might have said that before, but it's a terrible way to categorize it, because Airbnb is about having usually like your own private space, even if it's just a bed or a whole house, and you know, you pay for it. But couch surfing, hospitality networks, it's about the person that you meet and having like an awesome experience and hanging out, or at least having dinner together, something, you know, once in a while someone just like, you know, gives you a key or has a room and they're busy, but generally it's about hanging out. So obviously, that's my preferred method, because you're meeting cool people and, you know, you got a roof over your head, or at least you got a backyard or whatever. So that's A number one for, you know, whether you're a billionaire or broke as hell. That's the best. My second option generally is, and I recommend this to everybody who's traveling indefinitely, is to have some sort of way to sleep outside comfortably. If you can, it just gives you so much more independence and freedom. it's ridiculous. It's just, I cannot imagine not traveling or traveling without a, in my case, a bivy tent and a sleeping bag. It just means if I can find a place to kind of get hidden or a patch of woods, anything, even around a city, I've gotten good at that. And I got videos on how to find stealth camping spots using Google Maps and satellite view. Just being able to do that is a game changer. Like, whether it's 30 degrees or whether it's 100 degrees, whether it's raining or dry, I always have a place to stay on my back. And it just, you just worry less, you're chill, you know, the sun's going down, you haven't found a host, you don't have enough money for a hotel or hostel, or no sweat, have another beer, you know, enjoy the night. You'll find your place to camp. You're not worried about it. And who knows, maybe while you're having a beer, someone notices that backpack you've got, and they're like, what the hell are you doing here? Got a backpack? Are you traveling? Yeah. where are you sleeping tonight? I don't know. Got a tent, though. And they're like, well, I got a backyard. Well, actually, I got a couch in my basement. We're about to go back there and, like, have some beers and, like, drink this mushroom tea. Do you want to come? We're going to this festival tomorrow. And you're like, yes, I'm with you. I'm not saying that happens or happened, but you never know. Have another sip of beer. I'm having fun with this one. Not even drunk or anything. I've only had one of these Hop Claws. Hopping Nomad IPAs. It's only my second I'm opening up. But yeah, good times with you guys. I just imagine all the people and where you're at, walking or on a subway or doing your thing. Hitchhiking. What am I looking at? I got these notes here. Well, I'm actually reading my own blog post to keep myself on track here. So yeah. Y'all get it. Hospitality networks, get after it. I avoid hostels for many, many reasons. I don't hate them. I still go to them sometimes, but it's, you know, if you can save the 10 or 5 or 20 bucks on the hostel, cool. It is a cool social experience sometimes, but it's not where you are, you know? If you're at a hostel in Tokyo, is it really any different than a hostel in Melbourne or San Francisco or Thailand? I bet if I put you in a hostel right now, like put a VR headset on you, had you with a bunch of people, be like, what country are you in? You wouldn't know. Unless you're by the door where they have all the pamphlets telling you like what rope swing tour you should go on. You don't know. It's a freaking hostel. So, I don't know. Whatever. It's a cheap place to sleep, but I'd rather stay with someone who lives there. That's just me, though. I'm not knocking hostels altogether. I mean, they're freaking cool. I mean, let's be honest. I just, not as much. And, you know, hotels are expensive. Airbnb, a little bit cheaper, usually. That's another thing you can look at. Airbnb is nice if, like, you know, the weather's totally terrible. You don't want to camp out there. A little bit of a heads up. Get on Airbnb. Plenty of options. Plenty of options out there. That's why travel's so fun, you know? You can go as cheap and rewarding or whatever. Take your pick. It's easy. The last little thing I'll talk about, travel logistics, because I think you're getting now. It's cool. It's communication, you know. And it's the last one because it's easy. You know, we all got email. Some of us got Instagram, Facebook, text, whatever. It's real easy to stay in touch. It's not like back in the day. Like I said, like shooting a letter. Anyone, everyone alive now is, you know, at least telephone. For the most part, it's just easy. So I don't know why people still think like, oh, you're traveling. Don't you miss everyone at home? No, like I don't. Like I'm stoked when I see them after it's been a while, but I'm not like missing them while I'm gone because I can still talk to them. You know, it's all good. Stay in touch. It's all good. But I would say if you're from the U.S., you might not know about WhatsApp. Yeah, I think everyone's come around on WhatsApp, right? But it's definitely like the universal, like pretty much when you're in Mexico or Colombia or Thailand or wherever you're at, pretty much everyone exchanges WhatsApp. So if you don't have WhatsApp, if you don't know what it is, I'm not going to get into it really. It's just a messaging software. I'd grab that. Some people are getting into a Signal and Telegram. These are other messaging apps. And I just suggest you get on as much as you can if you're willing to, unless you're just like, oh, I'm anti-tech or I don't know. You know, some people are like, I'm deleting my Facebook today. I just suggest getting all the stuff because you never know when you like are going to have an awesome day with someone and then all of a sudden they're like hopping into a car and driving away or someone's picking them up and they want to exchange their WhatsApp with you or their Signal, whatever. And you're like, what the hell is that? And then you're like, and then they just kind of leave or I don't know. Just make it easy on yourself and just like have your stuff everywhere because there might be other people who only have one of these things and that's what they're trying to give you. That's what I'm trying to say. I'd probably do the same with the payment apps too. You might as well. I mean, if you want to, you know, obviously there's PayPal, Venmo, Cash App. There's all this stuff, Bitcoin wallets. You might as well just like get on all this stuff if you're willing to. If you don't have like, I don't know, reasons why you don't want to. Because, you know, someone might want to pay you or, you know, you'll be out with a bunch of randos in Berlin and, you know, someone pays for something and they're like, all right, everyone Venmo me $5 or something. And you're like, what's Venmo? And I don't know, it's just a pain in the ass. Just have all that stuff set up if you can. You don't necessarily even have to have money in there. I mean, if you can, great. Put like $5 or $20 in each of these things. Probably be handy anyways, just in case you get mugged or lose your wallet or something. It's nice to know that you have like random ways to access like $5 or $20 or you're balling, putting $100 in each of these things. Whatever. It's kind of good. Yeah, there's Wi-Fi everywhere. It's the last part of this communication, I promise. There's Wi-Fi pretty much all over the place, just like, you know, cafes, every country nearly. It's generally easy to find, not always, but Google Fi is the phone service that I've used for a long, long time. And I've kind of been switching between that and Mint lately, which is just going to drive this point home. Google Fi is great. It's Google's phone service, and all it really is they're just piggybacked on everybody else's phone service in the world. It works in pretty much every country. You don't do anything. Like, if you get a flight from San Francisco to Australia, like, when you land, before you get off the plane, you have service, just as if you were touching down in Miami. The phone just keeps working. $20 a month, unlimited calls and text. And then they charge $10 a gigabyte. And it just works everywhere. It's easy. You have phone service all over the planet. To me, that's great. The $10 a gigabyte, you know, you can get cheaper depending on where you're at. So if you are going to be somewhere longer than necessary, then, you know, maybe you get a local SIM card. And that's the other good thing about Google Fi is you can just pause it. It's not like it's a contract. You can just pause it. Pop another cheaper SIM card in. Like, for the moment, I didn't, you know, pandemic and all this other junk, I didn't expect to be in the United States this long. So Mint Mobile is kind of the best U.S. phone service I could find as far as, like, cheap. So at the moment, I've paused my Google Fi, and now I'm on Mint Mobile because it's, you know, going to be cheaper than the $10 a gigabyte and $20 a month. Actually, I hooked up on this deal. I think it's, like, $10 a month. I got 10 gigs or something. So, you know... If you're going to be in a country for longer, you can get something cheaper. But, yeah, Google Fi. There you go. All right. I need a sup of beer, and we'll get into the money. How are you going to pay for that $20 a month? That's what they all want to know. All right. We are rolling. How deep are we into this? Oh, not too bad. 40-something minutes in. Yeah, money. People love money. It's like the... It's not the number one question I get, but I get it within the first 3 minutes of talking to somebody. Almost always. Almost always. How do you afford to do this? It's usually how it's phrased, or where do you make money, or how much does it cost to do this? Do you have a trust fund? I think people get confused, you know? People are totally out of it and just don't, you know, travel, don't know a lot of travelers at all. They just think of travel as this, like, they think of that 2-week trip that a lot of people take, that 2-week resort trip. You know, there's a lot of people that just work like 50 weeks a year, and 1 or 2 weeks they take a vacation. So, you know, you ball out of control. I get it. And, you know, you get this expensive plane ticket because you have to leave on Friday from your airport and get to the airport in Cancun, let's say. So whatever it costs is what you're going to pay. Then stay at a resort and whatever. It's like, it's expensive as hell. And then people extrapolate that 2 weeks to 52 weeks and assume that that's how I'm rolling. No. No. I'm on a Holiday Inn right now for free. Like, this is fancy as hell. And it's still free. Slept in the dirt several nights ago next to a fence. It was nice, though. I enjoyed it. It's close to a brewery. Yeah, no, it's not that. You're not, so that's the first thing. You're not spending that much money. I mean, you can if you have that much money, if you're willing to make that much money. There are ways, but you're living, you know? You're just alive, you know? You might be working on projects and stuff, and, you know, you might be going hard, hiking, and doing cool stuff, and, like, jump on a zip line every once in a while, whatever. But then you'll have your chill days where you're just doing whatever, not spending a dime, really. Hanging out with a friend, cooking cheap meals, you know, whatever. You're not spending nearly as much as you think you might. And also, these expensive flights that get you a 1 or 2 week trip, that's also not happening either. Like, because if you spend, let's say you get a damn expensive ticket, $800-900 to get to Australia, I wouldn't pay that much, but, you know, whatever. A lot of people pay that much to get to Australia. You're going to stay there for like 3 months. Your whole tourist visa, 90 days. You might even get an extended visa. So all that money you spent on the ticket lasts you longer in a way. Yeah, it's just better. And you're not stuck near a resort and eating $30 meals, whatever you crazies are doing. So, yeah, don't think like that. You'll be fine. And couch surfing. You're not staying at a hotel, not every night, you know. Hopefully that's just emergencies or funsies once in a while, those kind of expenses. So I know what you're thinking. You're like, all right, well, what about those expenses? What about the phone bill? What do you do for money? And the answer is all kinds of stuff. So, you know, you might have a little bit of money saved up, whatever, you're going to burn through that. Maybe you saved up, how much did I have? I never remember this. When I first left, 2007, that summer, I had like, I didn't have more than $2,000. I know that for sure. I might have only had, I think I had more than $1,000. I don't remember. But it was something like that, $1,000 or $2,000. And it lasted me quite a while. And actually, over the years, I've never, I think I've spent as little as $2,000 in a year. And as much as maybe 6 or 7 certain years. So that gives you a little bit of a benchmark of what I'm doing. But I've talked to a lot of people who have, you know, similar kind of numbers. But yeah, and this depends on your travel rhythm too. So like I said, some people's travel rhythm is they run around like crazy for 6, 7, 8, 9 months. And then they get a place for a while. When you get a place, you know, a lot of people do that so they can get a little temporary job or they focus on whatever little project that they're doing and keep it moving. But you can do this on the go, too. And then odd jobs will pop up and there will be people who ask you, how do you do this? How do you make money? And you'll say, well, I get random odd jobs and do stuff. And they're like, well, I got a few things you could do if you want to make $100 or $200. Can't tell you how many freaking times that exact conversation has happened. That exact chain of events. Like, oh, you're traveling. Oh, how do you make money? Very quickly. And then next thing I know, they're offering me some kind of gig. And they're getting helped out. I'm getting $100 or more for not that much commitment. A day or two. You know, sometimes a few weeks. I've worked harvest season. I used to do the pot harvest in California. I used to do it almost every year. Every October, November, I'd go there, I'd trim weed. Like, you know, I'd make anywhere from one to, you know, usually 200 and change a day, sometimes as much as like 400 or 500 a day in the good years. You know, you do a little bit of that, and you live within what you got. A few weeks, California, you're good for the year. You're cruising. You throw in a couple lightning bolts, helping someone move or cleaning out their computer, whatever you do, you're good to go. And there's so much stuff now that you can do if you've got a computer online. So much stuff. Maybe the job you have now, you can do remotely already. Maybe you've already figured that out. Maybe that's why you're wanting to travel, because you're realizing, I'm just staring into a screen. Does it really matter what my surroundings are when I stare into the screen? I think I can make them better. There's that. And then there's gig work you can do. You can get on Fiverr if you got particular skills, like you can design a logo for someone. If you speak multiple languages, you can translate documents from Spanish into English, get paid for document that you transcribe. So much stuff you can do just online. And if you pair that with just helping people out and doing things, you're good to go. Like I said, you're probably not going to spend as much money as you think you might. And another thing is work exchange. That's a big one for some people. There's websites like Woofing and HelpX, I think is one of the more popular ones. And those sites sort of facilitate working on either farms or hostels, working for people in exchange for room and board while you're traveling. So it doesn't matter if you're in Ireland or South Africa or San Francisco. You can probably find somewhere where you can work for, it's usually about 20 hours a week, and they'll put you up and usually feed you. So, you know, you put in your 20 hours at a hostel, maybe you're checking people in, maybe you're changing the sheets for other people who are staying there. And then the rest of the time you're bouncing around, you know, you take a couple days and hitchhike on to a mountain, climb to the top, feel pretty free, come on back, meet some cool people in the hostel, change their sheets, throw some towels in a washing machine, and then go hit a brewery, whatever you want to do. Yeah, there's so many ways. So I know I saved this one for the end, money, but it's just a lot easier than I think people think. Like, you're spending less, and there's more fun, less committed ways to make money than you would think. And sometimes these short-term gigs just pay more than otherwise. Like, I never made $25 or $40 an hour when I lived in New York City, but I did trim and weed. And at any moment, trimming weed, I could get up and say, I'm done. I'm leaving now. Like, I've had fun. I go now. And it's not like I'm quitting. It's like, yeah, I was only ever supposed to be here for a week or a month. You know, like, so you're good. Woo! Another sip of beer. See, this beer is not great, but it is like a White Claw where you're just like, it's just light and a little bit gross. I don't know. I'm getting by. It's a Hopping Nomad IPA, so I just like looking at the name. It's pretty good for this podcast. Yeah, I think I've covered probably not everything, but enough to make you travel. You gonna get on the road now? We'll see. I recommend it. Don't worry about money too much. And don't, the money thing is just, all these people you'll see, like, how to live for $50 a day. Like, oh my God. I've seen people brag about this online. All these arbitrary budgets, $5 a day, whatever, more reasonable, $50 a day. Those ones crack me up. Like, man, you'd be bawling out of control. $50 a day, jeez. It's pretty good. If you can do that, do it. Who the hell cares? I've met people with the same spirit I got who've got millions of dollars, you know? But it's just fun. They're still living out of a little backpack. And, you know, I walk towards the highway wondering if I'm going to go east or west. They go to the airport wondering what plane's going where next. Doesn't matter. I just like the spirit. And money is something that brings you options, but sometimes the best options are free, so it doesn't even matter. It's good times. Just travel. It feels good. I feel good right now. And I'll tell you why. All right. So, yeah, I think I've covered everything I'm going to cover. So let's go into the outro, and I'll tell you why I'm feeling good, what's happened the last month, and what potentially could happen in the next couple days and onward. All right. Okay, I hope that was an information overload. If you're still listening, that's pretty cool. You're probably traveling already and just wanted to reinforce a bunch of that, or you're getting super stoked. Either way, it's awesome. You're the kind of person I get along with really well. yeah, so let me tell you a little bit about what has transpired. So if you listened to the last episode, you knew I was in Kansas City with Liz Stewart, staying in that motel, hotel, hostel kind of thing as a resident artist, and she had flown me out there to come check that out from Wyoming. And yeah, while I was there, I was just, yeah, really just seeing what she was up to, what she was doing, what the house was all about, considering my next options, and one of which was to go to Costa Rica, and I just itching to get out of the country, itching to see something new that I haven't seen. And Costa Rica is one of those spots, and I saw there were cheap flights from Fort Lauderdale to San Jose, Costa Rica in the $70, $80 kind of range. And I'm like, okay, that'd be awesome. Let's do that. So got to Florida, and then I started noticing like all these changes. I guess something went into effect on January 26 about the virus stuff. Like basically anyone flying into the United States from anywhere has to show up with a negative COVID test. And I was looking into that, and from Costa Rica, it looked like that would be at least a $100 endeavor. And logistically, you'd have to kind of nail it, because the test has to be, like, you know, fresh. So you'd have to just time it out perfect. And that's if nothing changes. Also, you need, like, a special health insurance just to go to Costa Rica because of the virus stuff. And that's at least $40, from what I could tell. And another logistical thingy, hoop to jump through. And I'm like, all right, I don't know, I can figure this stuff out, but I don't want some other stuff to happen, and then I get trapped there, especially because I'm supposed to help some family move, promised anyway, from New York later in March, and I'm going to do that. I got to make sure that I do that, and I just, you know, the last thing I want is to be, like, stuck in Costa Rica. I'm like, is it really worth it even? Because, like I was talking about earlier in this podcast, usually when you buy a plane ticket, like, you want to keep moving and get your value out of that plane ticket. And the land borders are shut, so you can't go from Costa Rica to Nicaragua or Panama. So you're almost on an island. The only way to get out is to fly, or take a boat, I guess. But so I'm like, all right, is it really worth all that hassle and expense just to go down there for, like, a month and only there just to come back to the United States and potentially get stuck there? Whatever. I'm rambling on about my thought process there, but so I'm like, all right, maybe I'll just kick around Florida. So I was in Orlando, and a buddy of mine got me a bus ticket to come see him in Tampa. That was the other thing about coming to Florida. Is this guy, other guy who I haven't met, or now I've met, his name is Jason. worldjason.com is his website. It's this guy who's been traveling for 2 years, pretty much nonstop, this house sitting sometimes and couch surfing, living out of his backpack, and he's about to go on this 50 states in 50 weeks kind of regimented sort of tour. You can check it out on worldjason.com, but he's got like a whole template of things he's going to do. In each of these, he's pretty much going to the biggest city in each state, spending a week there, and he's going to do something for charity. He's going to film a bunch of videos. He's going to do a shoot, like a modeling shoot. He's like a bodybuilder. At some point, I think in Houston, he's actually in a competition. So anyways, also the big thing he's going to do in each place is interview someone. So I was the first person he was going to interview. And he's like, if you can get to Florida. And I was like, well, as it turns out. And he's in St. Petersburg. So anyway, he's got this, another friend of mine in Tampa, got me a bus over there. And we kicked around, hit a bunch of breweries, and then I got to St. Pete and met up with this guy, and I wasn't sure really what I was getting into. I knew I was going to interview him, and I knew he was really interested in like hitchhiking primarily. So yeah, met up with him and found out that he's staying at this Holiday Inn. And I think because he's a vet is the reason that they're like putting him up here. He's been here for weeks, not over a month, I believe, just for free. They put him up here, and that's where he's been staying, waiting until his trip officially starts, the 50 and 50 trip starts like next month. Orlando, technically, will be the city. So he's staying here till then. And yeah, so he put me up for the night, and I was pretty much thought like, all right, I'm going to go to the studio tomorrow, do the interview, and then probably start hitchhiking south and just kind of see what happens. But yeah, things just kept happening. He's like, oh, if you can come to, if you stay for another couple days, you can keep crashing on the couch here in the Holiday Inn. And if you help me film this photo shoot, that'd be great. And I was like, yeah, I'm in zero rush. You know, I'm just moving south for kicks. I don't have a schedule. So did that, hung out, and just kind of meeting other people along the way. And then I helped him do this photo shoot thing. I kind of told him a couple like Tinder stories about just how people have used Tinder for travel rather than hookups. Like there's a guy who hitchhiked across Canada using Tinder. And after reading that, I had used Tinder for couch surfing. And I told him about that, and man, it just went off. Like, he started using it for that, too, and found someone to give us a ride over there. She was super cool. We ended up hanging out with her and some of her friends. Yes, it's just been one day after another. He had another person come into town that he was going to interview and wanted me to help film it. Like, I don't have a super nice camera or anything, but I got a bunch of stuff, and more than he's got, so I was like, yeah, I'll film some behind-the-scenes stuff, whatever, and... Yes, it's been cool, and yes, I'm still here. He headed to Orlando yesterday to, he's got some things to take care of, so I've just got this room to myself for as long as I need it, kind of. He's getting back in a couple days, but I might leave as soon as tomorrow, if not the next day. Yes, that's kind of where I'm at, and I'm thinking, like, the Keys is my southbound destination. So I do have to, unfortunately, go back to where this photo shoot was, which is in like an awkward hitchhiking situation. It's just in a weird place. Riverview. So I left a tripod there. I got to go get that. But yeah, other than that, I'm just going to hitchhike south. I got a couple friends I haven't seen in a long, long time. Like, you know, middle high school friends. Kind of between here and the Keys, so I would love to catch up with some or all of them. It's just always fun catching up with people you haven't seen in a while. So I'm kind of winging it. Probably do some camping on some near some beaches or whatever, and film some stuff and kind of kick it. I've still thinking about Costa Rica, but it's pretty much out. It's pretty much out at this point. Just doesn't seem worth it. I might have to wait on it. But yeah, that's, without going too deep, there's a lot of hopping news that I'm gonna get into later, the Backpacking Beer Adventure show. Let's just say it's gonna happen. I'll talk about that more as the weeks and months come on, but I'm getting freaking excited about that big time. So that might be another thing that keeps me in the United States a little bit longer, but, it's gonna be fun as hell, so. Who really cares where you are if you're having fun? All right. That's all the good stuff. I'm going to finish this six-pack of White Claw Hop and edit this episode and throw it on up for y'all. Hope you guys are having an awesome time wherever you're at. Hope I've inspired some of y'all to travel. And I'll bet some of y'all are traveling right now anyway. So good times. Head by y'all. Keep on kicking. And I will see you down the road. Plans I made, I need a new escape. With
all my shit straight, I'll get my big bread.